Yashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Kiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoranandana Braja Janaranjana Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kopijana Vallabha Giri Jayam Vishnu Padhar Mahamsa Karvajaka Charya Ashtotra Satya Shri Srimad. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananda Gaudiya Vaishnavinda Ki. ISKCON Founder Charya Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthana Kuntala Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravana Sharana Niravishesha Shunyavada Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 11. Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka, text 16 and 17. Can you chant?
Nishamaprestam ayantam.
Nishamaprestam ayantam.
Vasudeva Mahamana
Vasudeva Mahamana
Akruras Kagreshayanascha
Akruras Kagreshayanascha
Ramaschadbhuta Vikrama
Ramaschadbhuta Vikrama
Pradyumnas Charune Charudeshascha Sambo Jambavati Suta
Sambo Jambavati Suta
Praharsha Vegaccha Sita
Praharsha Vegaccha Sita
sannasana bhojana nisamma prestam ayantam vasudeva mahamana akruras kagreshanascha Ramaschadbhuta Bikramaha Pradumnascharu Deshanscha Sambo Jamba Bhati Sutta Praharas Vegascha Sita Sannasana bhojanaha Nishamma prestam ayantam Vasudeva mahamuna Akruraschya greshnascha Ramaschadbhuta Bikramaha Pradumnascharu Deshascha Sambo Jamba Bhati Sutaha Praharas Vegaccha Sita Sannasana bhojanaha
Thank you. So, the word for word in these two verses basically repeats the names that are in the translation. So I won't do the word for word, I'll just read the translation. And then Prabhupada's purport is one of these special purports that we find in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he gives a history of the person he's talking about. There's some purports where he talks about different munis or sages that came to some sacrifice, and he gives a little short bio of each one of them. And so in these verses, translation and purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a bio of some of the residents of Dwarka and Krishna's sons. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. On hearing that the most dear Krishna was approaching Dwarka Dham, magnanimous Vasudev, Akrura, Ugrasena, Balaram, the superhumanly powerful, Padyumna, Charandeshna, and Samba, the son of Jambavati, all extremely happy, abandoned resting, sitting, and dining. Purport. Vasudeva, son of King Surasena, husband of Devaki, and father of Lord Sri Krishna. Wow. These verses give such an intimate look at these personalities that when I read that, and father of Lord Sri Krishna, that struck me. It wasn't even the first thing they said about him. First they say he's king, son of the king of Surasena, husband of Devaki, and then the father of Lord Sri Krishna. It puts into context the relationships, how these relationships are real, deep, and personal. And they form a mosaic of a wonderful Vedic, wonderful transcendental society. So Prabhupada goes on. He is the brother of Kunti and the father of Subhadra. Subhadra was married with her cousin Arjuna, and this system is still prevalent in some parts of India. Vasudev was appointed minister of Ugrasena, and later on he married 8 daughters of Ugrasena's brother, Devaka. Devaki is only one of them. So Vasudev had 8 wives, and they all were from the same later on he married 8 daughters of Ugrasena. So he had not just Devaki as one wife, but he had 8 wives, all from the same family. Kamsa was his brother-in-law, and Vasudeva accepted voluntary imprisonment by Kamsa on mutual agreement to deliver the 8th son of Devaki. This was foiled by the will of Krishna. Material life is imitative of the spiritual pastimes of the Lord. And disagreements among family members are quite well-known experience. And so, even though Vasudev married the sister of Kamsa, Kamsa didn't hesitate to imprison both of them. As maternal uncle of the Pandavas, he took active parts in the purificatory processes of the Pandavas. He sent for the priest Kashyap at the Shatta Shringa Parvat, and he executed the functions. When Krishna appeared within the bars of Kamsa's prison house, he was transferred by Vasudev to the house of Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Krishna, at Gokul. Krishna disappeared along with Baladev prior to the disappearance of Vasudev, and Arjuna, Vasudev's nephew, undertook the charge of the funeral ceremony after Vasudev's disappearance. Interesting pieces of information about Vasudev's life and family members. And of course, the background is the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna. Akura, the commander-in-chief of the Vrishni dynasty and a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Akura attained success in devotional service to the Lord by the one single process of offering prayers. When did he offer those prayers? Anybody know? When he offered the prayers? The one single act? Yes, when Akura was taking Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, they stopped and took a bath, first Krishna and Balaram, then Akura. And Akura saw something wonderful in the water. He saw the Ananta Shesh and Mahavishnu and Vishnu form of the Lord in the water of the Yamuna. And he offered prayers. Those prayers was a single process of devotional service. Out of the nine processes of devotional service, he offered prayers and he attained perfection by that. He was the husband of Sutani, daughter of Ahuka. He supported Arjuna when Arjuna took Subhadra forcibly away by the will of Krishna. Both Krishna and Akura went to see Arjuna after his successful kidnapping of Subhadra. Both of them presented dowries to Arjuna after this incident. How many people knew that? He got two dowries after kidnapping Subhadra. Did I get?
I was enough.
No, I didn't get that one. Akura was present also when Abhimanyu, the son of Subhadra, was married with Uttara, mother of Maharaj Pariksit. Ahuka, the father-in-law of Akura, was not on good terms with Akura. As I said, you get the family details and you feel like you're really reading the reality of life here.
Can
Ahuka.
You put the mic when you're reading
the Ahuka, the father-in-law of Akura, was not on good terms with Akura, but both of them were devotees of the Lord. But both of them were devotees of the Lord. So sometimes that may happen. Some quarrel may be there, but it doesn't break the family relationship. That's the point. So in our family, ISKCON, sometimes there may be some not being on good terms. But that doesn't mean the relationship is broken. Actually, all the devotees are saintly people. And in the Hitopadesh, it explains the quality of having a friend that's a saintly person. You know this? There's a quality of a friend that's a saintly person. When you break the lotus stem, there's these threads almost. They're cords. And when you break the lotus stem, although the shell of the stem breaks, it still remains attached because there's these threads.
But it,
inside. There's some sort of threads, I don't know what you call them. But they remain attached. And so although you break the stalk, it remains attached by these threads. That's what friendship with a saintly person is like. In Hitopadesha it explains that even though there may be some break, the friendship still remains hanging by these threads. Well, that's the advantage of having friends with saintly persons, that it's not completely broken. Now, Akura is a very interesting case study. He's a resident of Dwarka, but he was involved in the pastime of the Shanataka jewel, which is quite fascinating because it tells us something about the city of Dwarka. Satrajit, he had attained the favor, I think, of the sun god, and he got one very powerful jewel, the Shanataka jewel. And so at one point, he came to Dwarka with this Shanataka jewel on his chest. And it was so bright and lustrous that the residents of Dwarka thought, oh, the sun god has come to see Krishna. That's the effect of the Shanataka jewel. Satyajit wearing it made him appear very bright, like the sun god. And so they thought, oh, he'd come to see Krishna because Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. Demigods come and offer their respects to him. But Satyajit didn't go to see Krishna. Rather, he installed the Shanataka jewel in the temple. And from the worship in the temple of this jewel, I think it's 179 pounds of gold. Huh?
Solid.
Yeah, solid gold was produced every day from this jewel. And so Satyajit was worshipping it. But his family, his brother's name was named Prasena. And so Prasena, one day, he took the Shanataka jewel and went out into the forest for riding, that little excursion into the woods. But when he was there doing that, Prasena was attacked by a lion and killed. He was riding on a horse and everything. The lion is so powerful. The lion just jumped and killed the horse. He killed Prasena too. And the lion took the Shanataka jewel. And Prabhupada makes the point that as we hear often, the lion is the king of the jungle. But no, the lion's not the king of the jungle, because when the lion was going with the jewel, Jambavan attacked the lion and killed the lion and took the jewel. So, meantime, back in Dwarka, and this is an interesting fact about Dwarka. Meantime, while back in Dwarka, different rumors started circulating. Imagine, we're talking about Dwarka, spiritual city, all the residents, all the families, the Vrishnis, Krishna's relatives were there. But some rumors started circulating among the people that Krishna had killed Prasena and taken the jewel for himself. they're subject of rumors. Krishna's the subject of rumors in Dwarka. So Krishna didn't like being defamed in this way. So he set out to find what happened to the Shamataka jewel. So when he went into the forest, he found that Prashena and his horse had been killed by a lion, and that somehow or another he found the cave of Jambavan. Now there were all kinds of residents of Dwarka with him, traveling. They went out with him to quell these rumors about Krishna. And so when they reached the cave of, it was a big underground tunnel, anyway, cave entrance. So Krishna told the residents of Dwarka, "You just stay here, I'll go inside." And so when he went inside, he, after the long tunnel,
28 days.
Huh?
28 days.
I don't understand.
Yes, 28 days.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, we're going to get to that.
Not yet.
We're going to get to it. Because first he saw that Jambavan had given the jewel to his little child. And the child was just playing with it like a play toy. And so Krishna suddenly appeared there, and the nurse who was looking after the small boy, son of Jambavan, she became frightened by Krishna's presence and she started to scream. And Jambavan came on the scene. He fought for 28 days with Krishna, and then he realized that I'm getting tired and beaten down by this person. He must be none other than my Lord. Because Jambavan was previously in Lord Ram's pastimes. And so after 28 days, Jambavan gave not only the Shamataka jewel, but his daughter, Jambavati, to Krishna as a dowry. And Krishna went back to Dwarka, and he came back not only with the Shamataka jewel, but with a new wife. It's in the verse Samba is mentioned. I'm not sure we'll get to Samba in the descriptions, because he's the last one in the purport. But Samba was the son of Jambavati with Krishna. So you would think that that would be the end of it, but unfortunately, there was more intrigue. Because when Krishna got back to Dwarka, he gave the jewel back to Satyajit. But Satyajit was thinking that, he gave the jewel back to Satyajit, but Satyajit didn't accept it. And he gave his daughter, Satyavati. Felt guilty, yes. He felt guilty, and so therefore he gave his daughter to Krishna. Now, what does this have to do with Akura? We're getting back. Well, later you see.
Akura is a scandal. Yeah, he was in the conspiracy.
Yes, that's the point. That's exactly the point. After all this took place, Satyajit was killed by Akura. Akura himself killed.
Satyadanya.
But he was part of the plot. He was part of a conspiracy to kill Satyajit, to take the Shamajaka tool and give it to Krishna. That was their idea. So how is it that Akura, who attained perfection by chanting the prayers we just read, who went to Braj to pick up Krishna, to bring him to Kamsa's assembly. How was it that he was involved in a conspiracy to murder somebody? How is it? Yes. Gets back to the gopis of Braj. Apparently, he was cursed by the gopis of Braja for what? He's the one that came, sent by Kamsa to take Krishna away. And so, therefore, the gopis cursed him because he was, took them away. And he had to become involved in this, this whole plot, conspiracy to murder Satyajit. Amazing. We're talking about the eternal residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dwarka. Yet, this is the description we get in Srimad Bhagavatam. Very interesting. Oh, more.
Yeah,
of course. So can you tell on the mic?
Acharya asked the question, why being an eternal associate have to be in the impersonal Mayavadi place in Benares for hiding from this conspiracy in one to get caught with like old mess? Sounds like he's shown presence sometimes.
Yes. So Kura, very interesting. Let's go on to purport here. 8:30. Ugrasena, one of the powerful kings of the Vishnu dynasty and cousin of Maharaj Kunti Bhoja. His other name is Ahuka. His minister was Vasudeva and his son was the powerful Kamsa. This Kamsa imprisoned his father and became king of Mathura. By the grace of Lord Krishna, his brother, Lord Baladev, by the grace of Lord Krishna and his brother, Lord Baladev, Kamsa was killed and Ugrasena was reinstalled on the throne. The lust for power and wealth and control easily blinds material relationships. Kamsa was so much infatuated with power, opulence. He was Hiranyakasipu, as per the meaning of Hiranyakasipu, not the person. He's fascinated by gold and soft bed. So much so that he can imprison his own father. He can imprison his own father. And kill his sister's children. One after another. It seems extreme, but you shouldn't take it as extreme. You can also fall so far if we're not careful with the benefits that Krishna gives to us in our life. So continuing Ugrasena, when Salva attacked the city of Dwarka, Ugrasena fought very valiantly and repulsed the enemy. Ugrasena inquired from Naraji about the divinity of Lord Krishna. Interesting. Ugrasena, a king, inquired from Naraji about the divinity of Lord Krishna. We know that although Krishna was displayed as pastimes on this earth 5,000 years ago, not that many people recognized him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Apparently Ugrasena had some ideas in this regard, and he did what is standard practice for understanding God. Tad vidhi panipatena pariprasneva sevaya uparekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. So Ugrasena went to Naraji, tatvadarshi, and he inquired submissively about the divinity of Lord Krishna. So that's a quality mentioned by Prabhupada here in the purport. When the Yadu dynasty was to be vanquished, Ugrasena was entrusted with the iron lump produced from the womb of Sambha. He cut the iron lump into pieces and then pasted it and mixed it up with the sea water on the coast of Dwarka. After this, he ordered complete prohibition within the city of Dwarka and the kingdom. He got salvation after his death. Does this mean prohibition from alcohol? Is that what's being described here?
That's why all the trouble started, because the princes, they were drinking the rice wine, and that's when they started fighting with each other.
Okay, the princes, the whole Yadu dynasty, they were fighting with each other, influenced by being intoxicated by drinking this rice wine. So he knew, Ugrasena knew that there could be some problem. And so he ordered complete prohibition within the city of Dwarka and the kingdom. I mean, Dwarka is an amazing place, and understanding about it is not easy. I've been wondering since we got in this section, who's going to get the verse where it says they're prostitutes in Dwarka? So there's prostitutes in Dwarka. The king had to order prohibition so intoxicating beverages wouldn't be taken. And yet this is a description of the city of Lord Krishna. Anyway, does anybody want to comment on that? Otherwise we'll just go on. Interesting. Very interesting. Thank you for that. So the next person listed here is Baladev. There's quite a lengthy section on him. What time is it now? Okay. So I'll read this. Baladev. He is the divine son of Vasudev by his wife Rohini. He is also known as Rohini Nandana, the beloved son of Rohini. He was also entrusted to Narada Nanda Maharaj along with his mother Rohini when Vasudev embraced imprisonment by mutual agreement with Kamsa. So Nanda Maharaj was also the foster father of Baladev along with Lord Krishna. Now, this is interesting here. It's the second time it's been described in a purport, where Vasudev embraced voluntarily, or by mutual agreement, he accepted imprisonment. Does anybody remember that, or do they remember, like I do, that Kamsa just took him and threw him in prison? Not by this mutual agreement.
Well, did you say that I will give, as a child born, I'll give you one by one scribe?
Yes.
So then concretely, not that he trusted his word.
Yeah, he didn't imprison him though. But then when Narada got involved, he imprisoned him. But it says he embraced imprisonment by mutual agreement with Kamsa. Yes?
Does it mean during the wedding, after the wedding, they were going to the other city and the celestial body said, watch out, Kamsa, your sister's child is going to kill you.
He agreed to give his children, not be in prison. That's the question.
That was his evil advisors said to put him in prison. So we don't remember hearing the Krishna book about him agreeing to the leech.
Yeah, that's the point. Because it says here, he embraced imprisonment by mutual agreement with Kamsa. He agreed with them to give him the children. That's not an issue. Anyway, so Nanda Maharaj is also the foster father of Baladeva along with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna and Lord Baladeva were constant companions from their very childhood, although they were stepbrothers. He is the plenary manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is as good and powerful as Lord Krishna. He belongs to the Vishnu Tattva, the principle of Godhead. He attended the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi along with Sri Krishna. When Subhadra was kidnapped by Arjuna by the organized plan of Sri Krishna, Baladeva was very angry with Arjuna and wanted to kill him at once. Baladeva. You know Baladeva's character. He didn't want to see the battle. And so therefore he went on pilgrimage during that time. When he came back, he saw that it had come down to Bhima and Duryodhana fighting with the club. So he saw that was happening or about to happen and he left again, isn't it? He didn't stay there.
He
opposed the fight. So Bhima had hit below the waist. At the indication of Krishna, though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. It's not where the
mysterious role.
How are they stepbrother?
Stepbrother? Because. Go ahead. What are you saying, Jack? Well, Vasudev, taken as the father of Krishna. There were stepbrothers from the viewpoint of Mathura. From their childhood, although they were stepbrothers, they were companions. He is a plenary manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is as good and powerful as Lord Krishna. He belonged to the Vishnu Tattva. He attended the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi along with Sri Krishna. When Subhadra was kidnapped by Arjuna and by the organized plan of Sri Krishna, Baladeva was very angry with Arjuna and wanted to kill him at once. Sri Krishna, for the sake of his dear friend, fell at the feet of Lord Baladeva and implored him not to be so angry. Sri Baladeva was thus satisfied. Similarly, he was once very angry with the Kauravas, and he wanted to throw the whole city into the depths of the Yamuna. But the Kauravas satisfied him by surrendering unto his divine lotus feet. He was actually the seventh son of Devaki prior to the birth of Lord Krishna, but by the will of the Lord, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to escape the wrath of Kamsa. His other name, is therefore Sankarshan, who is also the plenary portion of Sri Baladeva. Because he was as powerful as Lord Krishna, and can bestow spiritual power to the devotees. He is therefore known as Baladeva. In the Vedas also it is enjoined that no one can know the Supreme Lord without being favored by Baladeva. Bala means spiritual strength, not physical. Some less intelligent persons interpret Bala as the strength of the body, but no one can have spiritual realization by physical strength. Physical strength ends at the end of the physical body, but spiritual strength follows the spirit soul to the next transmigration. And therefore, the strength obtained by Baladeva is never wasted. The strength is eternal, and thus Baladeva is the original spiritual master of all devotees. Krishna Balarama Ki!
Yeah. Regarding the stepbrother,
yes.
Because Rohini was put under the care of Nanda Maharaj.
Mm.
And she had a baby who was just a couple of weeks younger, older than Krishna. And they were raised together.
Mm.
Like brothers.
Okay.
But that's not stepbrother, not you know, officially stepbrother, but they're raised together.
Some difference in the parentage. Yeah, different combinations of parents.
Yeah, you are the most loved, not even the father. But it's said you were raised as separate, but the point was that Nanda Maharaj didn't know that they were separate. Let's see how Prabhupada has scattered in the Bhagavad. Prabhupada has scattered that there's a, gentleman who said Bala is the material strength. That was Vivekananda. It's a famous school.
Oh, really?
But here Prabhupada didn't mention the name. He just said, some less intelligent person.
Yeah. Some less intelligent persons interpret Bala as the strength of the body. Okay. Yes.
As far as my question is, does Srila Prabhupada mention, we hear the story about, you know, Nanda Maharaj had twins and, you know, like that, but does Srila Prabhupada mention at all that Krishna was actually born from Mother Yashoda? Does he mention, does Srila Prabhupada mention so? Or is that something that we get from the Acharya's book? Yeah, so, yeah, again, my question is, does Srila Prabhupada mention
yes.
that?
I heard one lecture from us say, that verse is there, Nanda Atmadeva Uttama. That slogan is there.
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada has said it in Krishna book, he said, the son of Nanda Maharaj.
But does he bring up that point that we hear about Yashoda actually had twins, a boy and a girl? And
yeah.
Okay. We'll end there.
I had one question.
Yes.
You just read also that the seventh child was transferred from Devakut womb to Rohini.
Mm. I never heard Balaram's name as Devaki Suta or Devaki Nandan or anything. Always Krishna. Krishna's name is there, Devaki Nandan, Devaki Suta. But Balaram, we just read, right, Prabhupada?
Yeah, well, it gives the name associated with that movement is Sankarsana.
Sankarsana. So that's, I see. So we can refer that way.
Yes.
The Sankarsana means came from Devaki Suta.
Yes.
Okay. Nice. Thank you.
Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
This is very good class, actually. Better than ever.
Yeah. I had it, it's now to give it to someone else.